Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This program is entitled, How to Handle Difficult Performance Reviews by Janelle Britton. Tom, it seems that anyone who's ever been in a management position has had to deal with at least one difficult performance review. What pointers did you pick up from Janelle's presentation?
You're right, Bill. It seems like everyone, including myself, has been in that awkward position of walking through a performance review with an individual that was, shall we say, difficult. If I'd heard Janelle's presentation, it would have made my job a lot easier. I also really liked her suggestion of having the employee prepare for the performance review. And I also like the three questions she suggested the manager ask each time they do a presentation. Bill, what tidbits did you pick up?
Well, Tom, you know, I like the suggestion of simply documenting good and poor performance throughout the year rather than simply waiting, you know, until the time of the review. And that would have made my job a lot easier. Tom, Janelle has a really strong background, having worked with companies like Xerox, Control Data, and organizations in the healthcare industry for over 18 years. With that experience behind her, she has founded Dynamic Performance Institute over 25 years ago and has now worked with over 300 companies across the United States as well as six foreign countries. She is the author of six published books, including the most recently published, Star Team Dynamics, and How to Say It, Performance Reviews. And now, with How to Handle Difficult Performance Reviews, here's Janelle Britton with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Hello, I bet you are listening to this session today because you've had at least one employee whose behavior has caused you to have a serious headache. Then the thought of having a performance review with this person has even accelerated it to a migraine. Well, you are in the right place today. In all of the consulting and training and coaching that I've done over the past 20 years, all different size of companies and organizations, this is often the part of being a manager or supervisor that people dread the most. My goal with you today is to help you feel more comfortable with handling some of those tougher situations and to help you make a shift to seeing these conversations as a great opportunity to turn people into enthusiastic, motivated, hard workers. Today I'm going to talk with you about some very practical approaches of things that you can do to handle the more challenging conversations. Now, this brings to mind an example from Ms. Roddick's book about when she first started her company. She founded the Body Shops. And her very first store, she was opening it up, and she said, I thought I was hiring employees, but then I realized they were people. Well, what's she talking about there? You know, you're hiring someone to do a position. You have a specific task that you want them to do. But as you work with them, you realize that they have baggage that they brought with them, that they have a whole different way of looking at life, a whole different way of being, speaking, communicating, and it can rub you the wrong way. Well, we will be working with that today. So let's get started. The very most important thing to do is to prepare. Preparation is the best problem prevention that you can do. Now, I know that you're busy. I know that you're, you know, a manager or you're running the company. But if you can, during the year, take a short notes on the behavior and performance of your people, that will help you so much when it comes time to have that conversation with them. This is what I call the one-minute documentation. So let's say that Janelle, who works for you, came in late today, and this is the third time that she's done it. Well, write that down. And write it specifically. Janelle was late 15 minutes on Monday and half an hour on Tuesday and 45 minutes on Wednesday. And write that down. It doesn't take long to write that down. And put it in a file. Now, it can be a file on a computer. It could be a paper file. Whatever works for you. Also document the good things that they do. Janelle worked overtime on this special project, and the customers loved her. that needs to be documented as well. I would say that it's better to spend, let's say, accumulated 1 hour during the year, a minute at a time, putting in little documentations like that. It will save you so much time when it comes time to have that conversation. Now, I would also suggest that you ask the employee to prepare. Now, very often we think that this is something that the boss talks to the employee about and the boss does all the preparation. I view that this is a two-way communication. This should be a nice joint planning session between the two of you for the next year to set the next year up for success, we hope. So what I would suggest is that you talk to the employee in advance and set up a time, maybe a week ahead of time at least, so that it's a time that's convenient for both of you. And then you let them know that you would like for this to be a two-way conversation and that you expect that they should do some preparation. Well, what should they do? Well, if they have been with you for more than a year and you have done a performance review with them or someone has done a performance review on them before, then that they should go back and look at that again. And they should think about, over the past year, what have been their accomplishments? And what areas have they improved in? You know, getting better at something. And have them think about what they think that their next year's goals should be for areas that they should improve and grow in. Now, this one is that one was really important because you want to set the expectation that they cannot be stagnant. They cannot stay the same. You always are expecting them to learn and grow and get even better at whatever it is that they do. You can also ask them to think about what are their career goals. Now, this is an interesting conversation because you may find, as they might share that with you, that maybe they want to be your partner. Maybe they want to help run the company. Maybe they want to break off and start their own company, whatever. It's important for you to know what their career goals are, if they have any, because that could definitely change how it is that you work with them. And also for them to think about what kind of assistance might they need in order to meet their goals. Do they need training, some coaching? What do they need in support to make sure that they can meet it? Okay, now you've got them set. How about yourself? I'd like for you to take a moment and think about that person or each of the people who report to you and answer these three questions about them. Think about, what do you think is the hardest part of the job for this person? You know, what do they struggle with? What do they procrastinate on? And what do they just not like about it? That's important to have that concept in your mind. Then also ask yourself, what do you think that they love most about their job, that they get really excited about, that they do first, and you can just hear the energy in their voices, they're talking about it or as they are doing it. And the third question is, what do you think this person would like to be more appreciated for? Now that, you might take some talking with them about it along the way too, but, you know, something that would be meaningful to them that you could let them know that you appreciate about their work. Now also, I would suggest you do some of the same things you ask them to do, and that's looking at the last review, any documentation that you have, and then asking yourself this question. Does the job description that I set up for them a year ago really reflect reality now? That's the three R's. In other words, things change. You may have thrown another project at them, or you may have asked them to take on more responsibilities. Well, those need to be reflected in the job description or the form that you will be using to go over what it is they have accomplished. So we need to make sure that it's reflecting reality now. Also, of course, you should list the accomplishments you think that they have completed, their strengths on the job, and their areas for improvement or growth. And then list what you think their goals should be for next year performance-wise, And then also, what do they need to improve or grow in order to be able to meet those goals? And now I'd like for you to sit back and just think about the overall goals for your department or for the company. And then think about, where does this person fit in with helping you meet those goals? Because that's an important part of the conversation to have, so that they know where they fit in with the whole picture of things. That they're not just a gerbil on a treadmill going around and around, that they really do have some overall impact on the company. And I would suggest you also think about, what is this person's potential? And how could it be capitalized to help you meet those bigger goals? Maybe you could use them in a way that you've not been using them in. So how do you find someone's potential? Well, a couple of ideas. One is, notice what it is that they're doing, like when they're not working. Are they on Facebook a lot? Maybe you could use them to help get a bigger presence of the company on one of the social media networks. Maybe you have heard them talk about something that they are leading in the community, in their church, or with the schools or something. Well, maybe they could be a manager. Maybe it's time that they should get promoted. So start to watch for areas that you could develop them in and use them in some other ways in the company. And one other source of information is the other people that work with them. Their peers, their customers, the other departments, and just over the year, things you've heard other people talk about. Oh, I love working with Janelle. That Janelle, she's a real problem. So that it's not just your perception, it's other people's perception as well. Now, I get a question a lot from managers about, should you complete the form in advance? Absolutely. What I see some managers do, however, is that they ask the employee to complete a form, give it to the manager, and then the manager reacts to it. No. I think that is sloughing off your responsibility as a manager. Take an hour, if it takes that, to really put down some thoughts, be very specific. This is going to pay off tenfold for you. For every minute that you spend in preparation, you will have so much better performance at the other end of this and save you all kinds of agony later when their performance is not where you think it should be. So write it down, your thoughts, or if there's a form to fill out, fill it out so that you are organized when that comes time to have that conversation with them. Well, if you don't already have a form, what should you include? I would suggest that you work with the job description. Hopefully the job description is decently relevant for what it is that they're doing. If it's not, that gives you an opportunity to correct it and bring it up to date. It should be talking and describing the various duties and responsibilities of that person. You should also have a category that has to do with qualities. The qualities that are very important for that particular job. So maybe it's that the person be diplomatic with customers, that they be punctual, that they be a good problem solver, that they have a can-do attitude. You know what I'm talking about. You get a sense. You fill in what's important in your kind of business or for their kind of job. Okay, so now I'm going to help you with having those tough conversations. You've got somebody who has a certain behavior, or they're not doing something the way it should be done, and you need to talk with them about that at the performance review. Well, hopefully you've mentioned it during the year, and this is not going to be a surprise to them, number one. But I'm going to offer to you 5 steps that you can go through. This is like an agenda for the conversation. And I would urge you, before you have the conversation with them, that you write down your thoughts about each one of these areas in order to be prepared to guide this conversation where you want it to go and not let them take charge and steer you off. So, the first thing I would like for you to look at is to indicate the difference between what your expectations are for their performance and how it is that they're performing. Because, quite frankly, they may think that they are doing it just fine. And in their mind, their definition of just fine is different than your definition of just fine. So it's very important at the beginning of the conversation that you talk about what it looks like, sounds like, or feels like when you are performing this, whatever it is, at 100% or at perfection or doing it just right, however it is you want to describe it. So it might be something like this. Joan, when I hired you, if you remember, I told you that it's very important that you be here at 8:30 sharp in the morning because that's when you will begin answering the phone and we want to be able to serve our customers as of 8:30. However, you have been late on this date by 15 minutes, that date by 30 minutes, and that date by 45 minutes. So, you see, I described what my expectation is and how I've spoken with them about that, and then what their behavior has been in contrast to that. I'll give you another example. Let's say someone again is answering the phone, but this one has more to do with the quality of their work. So it might be, Joan, when you answer the phone, what I'm hearing you say is, "Hello, Dynamic Performance Institute. This is Joan. Can I help you?" What I want you to say is, "Hello, Dynamic Performance Institute. This is Joan. How may I help you?" So that they can hear the difference between what your expectation is and what their performance is. So the first step is to clarify the difference between what their performance is and what your expectations are. The second step is to describe the impact of that negative behavior on a whole lot of different levels of people. So first, you can describe what the impact of it is, let's say, on their coworkers. So in Joan's case, it would be, "Joan, when you are late, that means that John and Sally need to answer the phone. So they have to leave their desks and go answer your phone and leave their work so then they get behind on their work. What do you think they think of that?" So if this is a person who's concerned about what other people think of them, then that will be important to them. Then you should also share with them the impact it has on you as the manager and then the impact it has on the customer. For instance, you might say to Joan, if our customers are calling between 8:30 and 8:45 and you're not here to answer the phone, they may go to another vendor and then we will lose that business. And if we lose business, then we have to lay off people. And then you should also talk to them about the impact it has on them. So what are the consequences to them? So it might be, "Joan, if you are late again, then I will have to put you on probation." And what that means is, and then you would describe that. So any of the consequences of their behavior to them personally. Okay, so you've talked about the impact. Now you will talk, you've been doing most of the talking thus far. Now it's time for you to simply ask a question and then listen for their response. Because what I would like for you to do is to say something like, "Do you agree that this is a problem?" Very simple question. So you've made the case, essentially, and you want to check in with them that they're with you on this, that they see that it's a problem. So in whatever way, in your own words, that it takes to say that, ask that question and then close your mouth and open your ears. Now, there might be an awkward silence, or there might be a whole bunch of excuses that start spewing out from them. Do not let their excuses get you sidetracked. So let's say they want to blame others. Then simply refocus them on what it is that they have control over regarding getting something done, let's say. "Well, did you talk to Janelle in advance about doing that?" You might say. What could they do to prevent that? So the blaming others, don't let them sidetrack with that. So then once you've got them to realize that this is a problem, then you can talk about, so what are we going to do about it? So decide on a solution. However, I plead with you, do not tell them what it is that they should do to fix it. Instead, ask them a question that requires that they come up with at least one idea on how to fix this, how to prevent this from happening again. So you might say, so Janelle, what are you going to do to prevent this from happening again? And then just sit there and let them squirm a little bit. Let them come up with an idea. Because there are some people who, if you come up with the idea, then they will view that you are the authority figure. And, well, the boss told me I had to do X. So then they'll have a chip on their shoulder. They will not take ownership for it. But if they come up with it, then they're much more likely to take ownership. So work with them and trying to get them to come up with at least one idea, if not more. Now, if they come up with an outlandish idea, then take your concern about that idea and turn it into a question rather than saying, what? You've got to be kidding me. I'll give you an example. I had an employee who was repeatedly late, so I was having this conversation with her. And I said, you know, what do you currently do to get yourself up so you can get her on time? And she said, well, my dog wakes me up, and then I take him for a walk. Ah, so in my head I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, that's all she does is to get herself here on time? But I didn't say that out loud. I kept that to myself. And instead I said, do you see that there are any problems with getting you here accurately at 8:30 each day? Well, yes. So then I ask her, what do you think you could do to make sure that you're going to get here every day by 8:30? So after some squirming, she finally said, well, I guess I could get an alarm clock. And to me, that had never occurred to me. I assumed everybody had alarm clocks. But then that's the beauty of getting inside of the head of each person, and you can see the world from their point of view and get to the core of what their issue is that's preventing them from performing in the way that you want them to perform, rather than simply telling them to do it and skirting over the real cause. This allows you to get into the cause of it. So you get to an agreement of what it is that this person will do to make sure it doesn't happen again. So then you're going to step five, set the goal. So the goal is, Janelle, that you will get a new clock, and by Thursday you will be coming in at 8:30 every day. Correct? So, or it maybe somebody has to learn a new skill. So you say, well, you will practice this skill, or you will study how to do this, and you will be at 100% accuracy by a week from Friday. So give them a timeline of when they have to have it done and at what level of accuracy, perfection, or whatever. That lets them know that you are serious about it. You may also want to set up a time for follow-up or check-in, you know, with them, like a week from Friday, to just check and see how things are going with them on that. Okay, so your performance review is over there. What do you do the rest of the year? Well, if you do not follow up throughout the year, people will revert back to their old behaviors. They will not take you seriously. So rather than just telling them to do it and assuming that it has now been cemented into their mind and the behavior will change, not going to happen. So several things I urge you to take a few minutes to do here and there. First off, truly monitor their work or actions or behavior, observing them do the kinds of things that you have been concerned about. And then give them feedback in the moment. If you see them doing it right, please give them an accolade for it. Pat them on the back. Say thank you. Let them know you appreciate it. Let them know you noticed it. That will help to cement more of the same, of the right kinds of behavior. However, if they do slip backwards, which very likely will happen, then go back to the five motivational steps that I just went over with you. Have another serious conversation with them about what it is they're going to do to then work to make sure it's not going to happen again. Now, there will be other times when you need to seek some other sources for feedback. Again, the people who work with them more closely than you might. And also, when you have the follow-up conversation with them, make sure that you have your documentation in front of you and stay consistent and firm with your expectations and their agreements for what it is that they will do or what it is you will do to help support them. Now, I am going to help you with some of the types of people that managers complain about the most. There are three different types. The first one is one that I call the non-responsive. This is the one that you have, give them the information about what it is that you're expecting for them and next year, and they just stare at you. Or they give you a one-word answer. Yes, no. You want to have a two-way conversation here. I would really like for it to be 60% them talking, 40% you talking, if we could do that. So how do you draw out that person? Let's look at why it is they might be non-responsive. Maybe they're angry and they're keeping it in. Would you like to know that so you could deal with it? Maybe they're getting ready to resign and they're just kind of taking it until I can get out of here kind of thing. Maybe they're shy and you could approach it from a very different approach if that's where they're coming from. Or maybe they've had a previous manager that has beat them down, domineering, overbearing, and that is how they have learned to be in the workplace when it comes to performance reviews. So they have just been trained to just sit there and take it. Or maybe they just don't have the guts to tell you that they could do more within the company, and they're just shy about that. How do you bring them out? Well, get to know them during the year and kind of see which one of those situations you think it might be. And ask them open-ended questions. Now, a closed-ended question is a question that somebody would answer with one word. Yep, nope, or one or two or something like that. You want to get into a conversation so you can get inside their head a little bit more. So ask them an open-ended question, something along the lines of any of these. When they have said something, you might say, well, tell me more about that. Or, what do you mean exactly? Or, I'm interested in hearing more thoughts that you have on that subject. Or, is there anything else you'd like to say about that point? Or maybe at the end of the conversation to allow another opening and say, is there anything we haven't covered yet that you'd like to talk about? So during the performance review, to ask those kinds of questions to help draw them out. And you might have some reflective thinkers. So if you ask one of those questions, there will be this silence. And maybe you're the kind of a person who wants to fill in the silence. You feel uncomfortable with it. I would urge you just to sit back, take a breath, and relax, and think about what's going on in their mind. Because very possibly what's happening is if they are a really reflective kind of person, that they will be thinking through how it is they want to say it to you. They want to be careful and choose each word just right. And I think that that is to be respected. It's showing that they think that this is a valuable conversation and they want to do it right. So sit quietly and supportively. Now what that does not mean is you should not sit there tapping your pen or tapping your foot or your arms crossed. Relax and then look friendly. Also, this bit about talking through the silence, some people think that when you're talking, you're in control of the situation. I'd like you to think about the opposite. The listener really has the control because they choose what they're going to listen to and what they're going to tune out. So if you can get them talking more and then you listening and hopefully really actively listening, then you'll have a much more meaningful conversation between the two of you. So I'm talking about asking questions here, nice open-ended questions, but I would like to add a little finesse to that and make the point that it's not just any old question that will have the right kind of impact. So let's try this out. Let's imagine for a moment that I am your boss. I come over to you and I ask you, why are you behind schedule? Why did you do that? Well, why can't you do it without errors? So how do those questions make you feel? Does it make you feel a little bit defensive? How much of an answer do you think you might actually give me or not? You might want to get out of there as quickly as possible and just give me a shorter answer as you can and not even maybe tell me the truth just to get out of there because you feel so under pressure with those kinds of questions. Well, why is that? Think about that for a moment. Let me try this again. Imagine again that I am your manager and I ask you these questions. What factors have caused you to be behind schedule? I'd like to understand what your thought process was as you were doing that. What do you need to do to be at 100% accuracy? So, as I ask you those kinds of questions, what kind of responses do you think you might give me if I was your boss? I'm hoping that they would be more along the lines of really thinking in terms of the solution to whatever it is that we're concerned about here. So that I am not blaming in this case. You see, in our emotional vocabulary, at work, we attach a negative emotion to the term why. You're probably unconscious of it. But the first set of questions I asked, they were all why questions. The second set of questions I asked began with more what's and how's kinds of questions. So what I urge you to think about right now is as you are asking people questions anytime, whether you're at home or at work, anytime, do you tend to ask more why questions or more what or how questions? Remembering that why questions cause defensiveness and people to clam up, whereas what and how questions cause people to open up and think in terms of a solution. And that's really where you want them to be. So now when they start to talk, I'm going to ask you to do something that for some of you might be very challenging. Listen actively. Close your mouth, open your mind, and really, truly listen to what they are saying. I'm going to give you a little self-test here, listening self-test. I'm going to ask you a series of questions and see if you answer any of these in the affirmative. When someone else is talking, how often do you focus on your own ideas and not theirs? How many times do you fake attention? You know, we were taught in school how to fake attention really well. Your face looks like it's there, but your mind is someplace else. Or how many times do you interrupt or tune out those dry, monotone kind of people when they're talking and your mind is thinking about something else? You have to have the discipline to really listen to them. Or maybe a daydream in the blanks of the speaker who is slow, so your mind thinks of other things. You have to still have a discipline to listen. Or maybe in your mind you're formulating arguments before they're finished with their point. Or do you finish their sentences? It requires discipline to really listen. So, another approach here. Again, working with the non-responsives, thinking about the cause for their low responsiveness to things. Maybe they have a low self-concept or lack of self-confidence. If you think that that's the cause, then I would urge you to appreciate them more, to praise them more, to find times when you could acknowledge their accomplishments. I don't mean to fabricate, strokes on the back, but to really when they accomplish something, and even sometimes to say it in front of others so that they get that acknowledgement, so that it helps to build their self-confidence. You could also talk with them about the importance of their job to others, to the customer, to the company. Again, so they don't feel like I'm that gerbil on the treadmill, I come to work and I do a job and then I leave. No, what you do is so important. So letting them know that you appreciate them can help to build the self-confidence if you think that that is their issue. All right, let's get on to the overreactor. This is an emotional person that sometimes, you know, all it takes is one word and it just sends them off. Very often you hate to have a performance review conversation with them, and if you have to talk with them about improving some behavior, and you're afraid to have that conversation because then they're just going to explode and you don't want to have that conflict. I'm going to offer to you some very concrete things you can do to help keep them calm and help to keep you both focused on what needs to be done. Okay? So the first thing is something that you can do with yourself, and that is to switch off your emotions before you have a conversation with them and during the conversation, to just turn off your emotions, and I want you to be calm and be more reflective rather than emotive. No matter what it is that they may fly off the handle, okay, that is where they are at, but right now where you are is nice and calm. And just focus on staying calm during the conversation. Then, when you're talking with them about what it is that they're doing, let's say that you say to them, Janelle, your work is sloppy. Well, Janelle might come back and say, you got to be kidding me, sloppy. No, sir, I work long hours for you. No one appreciates my work. Look at what I do for getting all this, working all these extra hours. You call me sloppy, give me a break. Well, what happened there? It was the terminology that is used. We have words that are emotionally laden, and sloppy is one of them. Instead of saying sloppy, you could say, Janelle, your accuracy rate needs to be brought up to 100%. You see, you need to be more organized in this way. You need to put your files away after you have used them. So be specific with the behavior that you want rather than using a judgmental term. Let's say you're a slaggard or you're lazy. No, no, no. Choose a description of the action that you want versus a label that is personality driven. Focus more on the performance, not the hot button emotive kinds of words. Another thing to look at along that line is don't say, you do X wrong. Wrong is a judgmental word. Instead, you can switch it around and say, you could do X better. But be specific about what it is, of course. Another negative way of saying things is, how are you going to fix it? That's problem-focused. Instead, say, how could you improve on it? How could you prevent it from happening in the future? And here's another perspective. I really like this one that is helpful, especially with the overreactor type person. You could say, how can you get your accuracy up to the same level as your other performance areas? So basically what you're saying is that 90% of their performance is where you want it to be. It just is 10% that needs improvement. So whatever it is that you're talking to them about that they need to improve on, you know, make sure that there's already some money in the bank, shall we say, with things that they are doing well, and just talk in terms, if you could just get this level of performance up to the same level as everything else you're doing, then we would be in really great shape here. You see how that has a different effect on it, on the person? And here's another suggestion with working with the overreactor. Rather than you telling them what you think their strengths are and then them reacting to it, ask them questions. So the questions could go along the lines of, what do you feel are some of your strengths on the job? In what areas have you grown or improved on since last year? Or what do you really like about your job? You see, all of those are positive focused kinds of questions. Get them talking. You usually are the kind of person who likes to talk. So then the next two questions will build on those questions and are important to ask after you've asked these other ones first. What areas do you feel that you could use some improvement on? And what tasks cause you the most frustration? Now, those two questions, as you can tell, are actually going towards the negative side of their behaviors or performance. But you're letting them bring it up. And when they bring it up, then they will tend to have more ownership for it. One more thing about working with the overreactor. If they get riled up, a common trait that they have is that they tend to go on and on and on, and they repeat the same point over and over again. They just get louder and louder and louder with it each time they say it. What you can do to help them relax and get more in control is after they've made their point once and you hear that they're starting to go into it on the second time or they had said it twice, then you very calmly interrupt them and say something like, "Janelle, then is what you're saying that, blah, 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 whatever it is." And you say it with respect and try to say it with understanding, that you are seeking to understand what it is that they are saying. Please do not say it with sarcasm. Like, in other words, so you think that you're Ms. Perfect, huh? No. So it would be more, so you are saying that you see that your accuracy is at 100%. Is that correct? So it's just confirming what it is that you're hearing them say without judgment. This is magic. What happens then is that they see and hear that you are listening to them. And that's one of the most important things for an overreactive person, is that they want to know that they have been heard and then not judged. And then you can take it from that point into the solution aspect of it, or understanding the impact of it and the gap or whatever it is, wherever it is you need to go from that point on. All right, the last one here is the overconfident person. I suggest that with the overconfident person, because, for instance, if you were to give them the form to fill out in advance, they would fill it out with all kinds of accolades and not have any area for improvement. Well, what I suggest is that you have your documentation together for what you feel 100% performance looks like, sounds like, and feels like, so that you are very prepared to be specific with the overconfident person. So, because what happens is that, again, they, by their standards, think that they are perfect. They're wonderful. They're at 100% already. But by your standards, they have some areas that they can improve on. So, with them, clarification of your expectations is very important. And you might need to say it in a variety of different ways. Discuss it in different circumstances. And then after you've done that, describe again when they perform it at the 100% level, that then they will be the role model for others, or that that will show their leadership capabilities, or that will be inspiring to others. So that will feed their ego, quite frankly. So that they will be motivated then to make those kinds of changes. Now, another thing about working with the overconfident person is it's very important after the performance review conversation with them that you give them feedback throughout the year, in the moment after they have done something, or at milestones, or on your weekly one-to-one meetings with them. Because if you don't have any conversation with them through the year, when you go to talk to them in performance review, oh my goodness, the surprise of it will set them off. Ugh, you don't want that. So at the various times in the moment, give them feedback. Continually clarify your expectations and document them. All right, there may be those times when you may have to look towards termination of someone. How do you make that judgment call? Well, I'll give you several things to think about. One is, how serious is the problem, really? Sometimes when they do something that really ticks us off, really annoys us, it's a totally different style from your style, we make it bigger within in ourselves because it is so different from us, or we just so dislike that way of doing things. So check with yourself. Is it really costing the business money? Is it making customers angry? Is it making an unpleasant place for other people to work in because of that behavior? So does it have real negative response or results to their behavior, or is it just irritating you? So, and also keep in mind, how many chances to improve have you given them? And that's a judgment call. Now, if this negative behavior is a safety issue, if it puts people's lives in danger, then, you know, only once. That one, one strike, you can be out on some of those. But if it is a smaller of importance kind of call, then, and if they're really trying to do this new behavior, then maybe you give them more chances. And then ask yourself, do you think that this person is really capable of doing whatever it is you need for them to do? Some people just don't have the skills that you need for X kind of a job. And have you documented what it is that they have not done so that you are, if you're going to terminate them in today's world, people, you need to have your documentation in line. You can't just have an emotional fit one day, get so frustrated with them and fire them because they can come back at you on that. So have your documentation. So if you need to have that conversation with them, I would suggest you terminate with compassion. So in most cases, you can appreciate some of their positive aspects at the beginning of the conversation, but then review with very seriousness and specificness the problem areas and the impact of those problem areas. And then let them know that you think that they're not a good match for what is needed for this job. So then they don't take it as personally, and they can leave and go on from there. I've covered an awful lot today, and there is much more to know. And I have a couple of resources for you. One is a book that you can get at Amazon or bookstores. It's called How to Say It, Performance Reviews, Phrases and Strategies for Painless and Productive Performance Reviews. I'm the co-author with Merrill Runyon on that, but has lots of suggestions for how you can talk with them about some of these tough kinds of conversations. And also, along with this is a resource that you can tap into, an article that I wrote, it's free, called Coaching to 100% Performance. It goes over those five steps that I shared with you. You can become successful by helping others become successful. That is your reward for handling these headache situations, is giving constructive feedback, observing and giving feedback on their efforts to try to make the change, helping them correct their course, being calm, reflecting rather than reacting, being diplomatic. When you step up to have those tougher conversations, you will later reap the rewards of the satisfactions as you see them become the hard workers that you need. Thank you very much for this time we've spent together today.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.